Well, due to a slight need to change our basic format versus doing responsive reading here this morning, we're going to do a public reading of Psalm 48. So take your Bibles this morning, and if you are tuning in on our link, either the link that our secretary sends you or whether the link that may be found on our church website, turn with me to Psalm 48 for this morning's public read. Psalm 48, in this edition of the Authorized Version, under the term Psalm 48, but before you come to the text, it says a song and psalm of the sons of Korah. So, once again, this was something probably not written by David, but nonetheless written by, or was written for, the sons of Korah. These were Levites who were responsible for the singing. So probably David is behind all of this, something maybe he composed and gave to them for them to sing. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindnesses, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will do, he will be our guide, even unto death. Amen. Well, I think basically this psalm here, if you want to put this into a little capsule, is simply entitled, The City of the Great King. The City of the Great King. Notice, great is the Lord, starts off in verse 1 with a bold declaration. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. The word mountain could be referring to Mount Zion itself, the actual mountain upon which the city was built. But sometimes the word mountain is used in a symbolic fashion. And a mountain kind of portrays something that is strong, something that is fixed, something that cannot be easily moved from its foundation. Okay, a mountain is something that is durable. It is something that you can build upon. It is something that you can even flee as a refuge, hiding in some of its caves or in some of its crevices. So the idea of a mountain used symbolically is very, very rich and deep in its connotation, this mountain, the mountain of his holiness. Then we're told in verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So here the psalmist wants us to picture the city of Jerusalem, okay, as a picture, a much greater picture. Even the city here, it represents something symbolic. It goes beyond simply the walls of Jerusalem, its towers, its bulwarks, its so-called palaces. Try to picture the city of Jerusalem here is simply a foreshadow of the heavenly city where God dwells in all of his fullness and beauty without any hindrance because of our frailty to understand. And so the city of the great king, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Once again, for a refuge. And those of you that are quite familiar with the Old Testament, you know that when Israel finally did parcel out the land to the 12 tribes, they were instructed to have 6 cities of refuge. And one of the things that was, when they established and designated and built such a city, it was to be on an elevated location so that it can be clearly seen even at night with the city lights blazing. The city of refuge was not to be built in a valley, to be blocked or to be obstructed or to be hid. It was to be built on an elevated location, for the one seeking refuge could easily see it and easily flee to it. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. So it seems like these armies are coming probably to attack the city. Or maybe these are kings who have been conquered, and now with the spoils of war, they're being brought to Jerusalem. And as they're being brought to the city, they are mesmerized by its walls, by its bulwarks, by its gates and such. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. So maybe this was like an invading army, and by the time the army got there and they assessed the walls of the city, how the city was impregnable, they realized that there was no way that they were going to bring those walls down, so they fled. Fear took hold upon them there, in pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Now, for those of you who've been going through the book of Acts, remember when Paul was tossed about for 2 weeks in that ship? The Greek word for the storm meant east wind. And here's further proof from the Old Testament. Now, when the east wind blows there in the Mediterranean, you're not going to get too far. You may end up finding yourself shipwrecked like Paul did in Acts, in the latter chapters of the book of Acts there. All right? As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, will establish it forever and ever. Notice, the city of the Lord and the city of our God. We have thought of thy loving kindnesses, O God, in the midst of thy temple. So probably, since the temple is being referred to, that might give us a little bit more internal evidence that this could have been composed by Solomon. Because the temple was only built in the time of Solomon. David, yes, gathered all the raw material, but it doesn't say tabernacle, it says temple. So that kind of gives us further information that probably this was something composed by Solomon and given to the sons of Korah to be sung in service. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell or count the towers thereof. Mark her well, her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. So here is a call, probably in the days of Solomon, where Israel at this point had reached one of its zeniths in its power, as well as its boundaries, all the way to the Euphrates, to the north and to the east, and all the way down to the south, to the river of Egypt. The land that was promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 has now become that reality. And here is a song extolling and encouraging God's people at that time to behold the city, behold the temple, behold its walls, its bulwarks, and her palaces. It is called beautiful. Look at verse 2. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So we have the city of the great king, the city of the Lord, verse 8, and the city of our God, verse 8. So we're being, God's people here under the old covenant, they are called to attention. They are called to focus on that city. And then the psalm ends what I believe to be a crescendo. For this God is our God. So notice, this God, not just any God. The Hebrews were at this time were not borrowing and assimilating any other god of the pagans into their worship. They knew the God with whom they had to do. This God, the God who has raised up this city, this God who has raised up this nation, this God who is our defender, is our God, personal. He's not the God of the mob. He's the God of the individual. Forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. And so I believe verse 14 is like the key verse, and it comes at the end, almost like a conclusion. This crescendo of the people, the Levites who would sing this. This is our God. That's a statement of faith. That's a statement of fact. That is a bold and courageous declaration. Too bad God's people today are not as bold and as courageous. This is our God. This is my God. And he will guide me even to the grave. Well, may the Lord truly bless his word. Amen.